You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 5th of March. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, I'm going to chat with Mateta Tulari. Markets, we're seeing just red all over the place. We'll touch on some of that on the update. Andrew Waller, Grindrod CEO, results, commodities and citrus demand helping. A tough period, but actually not a bad set of numbers when you look through to operational activity. Pravesh Sankar, RMB Private Bank, leveraging assets to grow wealth. I'm interested in this and how that works. Yesterday's poll, we asked you about our South Africa has a chronic housing shortage. Have you considered investing in housing construction stocks on the JSE? We chatted with Colgrow M3. Of course, there is also Baldwin. They operate in different ends of the market. 27% of you said yes, great potential. 56% said no, a risky sector. 17% said waiting for results. I'm in that 17%. The year ends for both are February. Results end mid-May. They're going to be tough, but if we look forward a couple of years, I think there's opportunity here. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Coronation cuts fees on funds. Let's be clear, it's only two of their funds, and only by 0.1%, dropping them to 0.75% and 0.35%. But certainly the trend locally, driven on the listed space by Signia, is fees coming down. Business Day: Discovery considers setting up a wealth brokerage. It makes sense. I remember, it was probably about 8 years ago, Adrian Gore being asked this, and he wasn't sure, but they've got all the other bits, and it kind of sits in the middle. It's not going to be a massive money spinner for them, but it'll sort of add service to clients. Morning markets, just more red out there. S&P off 1.3%. NASDAQ down 2.1%. The NASDAQ is now red year to date. Asia red, Sydney off 1%, Tokyo down 1.3%. Commodities mixed, we've got oil green, but we've got gold, 1,692. That 1,700 did not hold. Rand, 1530. Top 40 opening call. For red, about 0.5% down, sort of 300 odd points.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Andrew Waller, Grindrod CEO. They had results for year in December. Revenue down a smidgen, 3.75 billion versus 3.83 billion. Diluted headline loss at 24.6 versus 22.5 cents for the full year. Andrew, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. When I go through your results, on the surface, as I mentioned, revenue down a little, headline loss. Operationally, though, it looks like actually a considering pandemic and a year that no one anticipated, operationally, actually not a bad year for Grindrod broadly.
Indeed, Simon. Yes, thank you. If you could have told us that we'd get to these numbers in May or June, we would never have believed you. So, very good set of results from Sydney, the freight services team, and the bank themselves also managing to steer through what was a very difficult time for everybody.
Yeah, tough for all. Ports and terminals doing well. You mentioned in the results a strategic focusing on the corridor approach. Explain the corridor approach to us, how that works for Grindrod.
So we all know that the most important part of getting product to China and India out of Africa is the logistics chain. You can almost add another double again of the cost of transport onto the mineral cost. Mm-hmm. So we've got to focus on making sure that we get everything out of that logistics chain possible to make it affordable for the miners, and the same with the agri. We've got to make sure that we work with the customers to get the product to the end, and helping get that product out of Africa is our key.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, I remember years ago actually looking at a presentation from Grindrod and being startled, not startled, but surprised that if we were looking for Africa exposure, Grindrod was in the rest of the continent way more than the traditional sort of, you know, Standard Banks or ShopRites or the like. And that's essentially, you're going to pick up that citrus or that commodity at source, and you give that entire supply chain to the company.
That's absolutely the aim, yes, Simon. Quite right. And you say exposure to Africa. 60% of our revenue is now outside of South Africa, in Africa. So, yes, quite a lot of exposure in Mozambique, the Congo. Obviously, we are helping take the copper out of the Congo and put the sulfur in. We're running trains on the Dar es Salaam line, as well as the North-South corridor. So lots of exposure outside of Southern Africa, and obviously a dollar, which did help us a little bit in the current year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mean in northern Mozambique, that's the liquefied natural gas. The media reports of conflicts in the region. Is that as bad as the media says? Is it having an impact, or is it something which is there but which you're able to manage?
So yeah, a very difficult position in northern Mozambique. It's obviously been there for a long, long time. We remember the war back many, many years ago, and it hasn't been properly resolved. And of course, as soon as you get a development like the gas development, it is going to come to the surface. So a lot of work that the government has to do. We work under the auspices of Total there in the north. They run everything in that area. So we're very much driven by their protocols. They're working hard with, as you know, a number of governments to make sure that unrest is settled. Mm-hmm. Yes, as you would expect, media is always over the top and a little late. So we're not quite in the position that you read at the moment.
No, I take your point in that. Media likes a good story. What do they say? If it bleeds, it leads. A quick last question, and this isn't directly you, because, of course, Grindrod Shipping is now separate. A lot of reports earlier in the year around container shortages. Is that an impact for you, or is that somebody else's problem, or has it resolved its way out of the system?
So we do have a number of ships. We have four ships in our business that run around the coast, and we have seven servicing Mozambique at the moment. But those we've got all on long-term contracts. So we're okay as a business on the shipping, on the ship side. On the containers themselves, with all of the COVID shutdowns, the containers all ended up in the wrong places in the world. Yeah. All those supply chains all over the place. So we are helping the likes of Maersk to reposition containers to the east again, and that has helped us a little bit in the second half. So yes, there's our customers and our carrying and forwarding businesses are crying because those rates on the containers are exceptionally high.
Yeah,
but I do think that you're going to see, I mean, you've seen it across the board, all shipping rates now, the Handys, the Supermaxes, the Capes, and even the tankers, all those rates are now starting to rise due to the lack of building over the last five to 10 years that occurred in the market.
I got you on that. Okay, so just the capacity issue. We'll leave that there. Andrew Waller, CEO Grindrod, so appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Mateta Tulari, he is head FX execution RMB. Mateta, appreciate your early morning. And look out at the market. I see results coming through locally and globally that are, all things considered, actually not bad. I mean, we're in a pandemic, first in 100 years. We see vaccines rolling out slowly locally, but you know, the UK, US doing fairly well there. Yet NASDAQ red year to date, our market taking some pressure. It's like the market is maybe hungover from 2020.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Happy Friday. I think the first week of March has been quite interesting because I think, just as you say, I mean, yes, there is. We are calling 2021 the year of the recovery. But I mean, as you look at it, I mean, obviously there's quite a lot of vaccine rollout, and obviously yesterday, just on the local market, we had a really volatile day ahead of Paul's speech last night, with obviously the JSE selling off sharply into the close to end near the lows of the day. So, I mean, obviously then we just look across to what happened with Mr. Powell and quite an interesting one because it just looked like, the Fed is obviously pushing back against the recent rise in U.S. yield. So now, over and above that, then you just had, everything just selling off. It's just, I think it's becoming obvious that the Fed is willing to see the markets drive U.S. Treasury rates higher when financial conditions remain broadly accommodative. So on the back of that, we've seen very much large selling. I think the Rand also being one of, one of the biggest losers, also including the likes of the Norwegian krone, the Australian dollar. And I think what's also interesting is that even the oil price has been overshadowed because that's now close to $70. I mean, we're $3 away from touching 70. So it just shows you that the market is obviously in a bit of, is risk off at the moment. So, not only oil, touching close to 70, but also stocks and bonds obviously selling off after what Mr. Jerome Powell said last night.
You mentioned the Rand, you mentioned a bunch of other currencies. Is this a case, as is often the case, where it's actually more a US dollar story? And that's obviously, as you mentioned, what Jerome Powell was saying last night, that the US dollar driving the currencies around the world rather than those currencies driving themselves.
Exactly. So it's a commodity story. I mean, just like the Australian dollar, just like ourselves. And I mean, if we just look at just the Rand over the performance over the past month, where we've seen this surge in U.S. treasuries, mm-hmm. I mean, over the past month, the Rand has lost about 3%. But if you just look at, the other emerging market currency that also tends to follow us when there's a risk off and sell off in currencies, is the Turkish lira and the Brazilian real. And the Turkish lira, over this period of, mm-hmm. The past month, that has lost about 6%. So we also know the issues out in Turkey with regards to, obviously, policy there not being somewhat, conducive for investor environment and obviously boosting sentiment and confidence there. So, over and above what's happening in global markets, their currency has actually even taken a hit. So, on the Rand side, quite interesting that now we're touching this 1530 level. And obviously, I think it's levels that we haven't seen in the past, call it, 3-4 months. So I think that's going to be also quite interesting because there's also quite a number of exporters of dollars that will be taking advantage, like the miners and obviously the likes of all the names in the resources sector.
Yeah, the miners don't mind that 1530. Of course, we were 1450-ish almost just recently. Mateta Tolari, head FX execution RMB, appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pravesh Sankar. He is a regional head RMB private banking. Pravesh, appreciate your early morning. A press release sent out earlier in the week from yourselves around leveraging assets. I mean, this is something which I think, not necessarily high net worth individuals only, but sort of certainly mid and higher net worth individuals. The idea here is that I think we don't give much consideration to it. Borrowing against an existing asset and using that debt to purchase another asset. In other words, that classic sort of leverage effect, and in a sense accelerating wealth creation if done prudently.
Yes, thank you for having me. I think we do it more often than we realize. A simple example will be where you buy an investment property with the mm-hmm. purpose of renting that property out or putting it on Airbnb. You hope that the return that you get from that investment will be at least equal to or more than the debt that you pay back at the bank. So I think it's a common practice. We just don't realize that we actually use debt to grow our asset base.
I hadn't thought of that. I mean, I was thinking, for example, someone who maybe has a holiday home or perhaps they've paid up their primary residence and then lending against that. I mean, my primary residence is paid up and frankly, it's a lazy asset sitting on my balance sheet now. And I could leverage it and take advantage of it rather than have it sit there lazy.
Correct. Or you could borrow against the asset that you're purchasing as well. So mm-hmm. if you want to leave your primary residence ungeared, which is also advisable, you can borrow against the asset you're looking to purchase and use that to generate an income.
Gotcha. So actually, and that primary residence almost just puts me in good stead. I mean, you've been talking property primarily. You mentioned Airbnb and other, even sort of, you know, longer term rentals, the sort of buy to rent market in a sense. I'm imagining some assets are going to be also harder to raise debt against. Property is nice and simple. Banks understand it. But if I'm, you know, sort of, I don't know, a stamp collection or wine collection or something like that, I mean, is that something that I could potentially leverage, or is that too exotic an asset for a bank to really be interested in?
The basic principles, I think, when banks look at asset is, can they ascribe a value to it?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a market for it? So something you didn't mention was an art collection as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if the banks have the ability to value it and ascribe a value to or the ability to take a security over it, then by all means, the bank will look at it. But typically, the banks look at property, both residential and commercial. They look at listed shares as well,
mm-hmm.
and they look at cash. Now, you may ask, why would someone want to borrow against cash? But if you use an example as you've externalized funds and you're holding the funds in foreign currency, dollars as an example, but you still like to borrow and invest in South Africa, you can borrow money against those assets as well.
I hadn't thought of that. And the other pile of cash you mentioned, you know, and a good old-fashioned emergency fund. And, you know, what 2020 taught us more than anything is that, truthfully, the future is uncertain. And having a pile of cash, and it's going to be a different size pile depending on the individual and their circumstances, we would have a pile of cash for an emergency. That's, again, lazy money. We could perhaps borrow against that and use that to keep the emergency, but also perhaps use it for asset growth.
100%. So we have seen clients that borrow against cash. And why would you borrow against cash? Once again, you may have your cash locked up in a 6 month or a 1 year fixed deposit. You don't want to break that, but you want to raise some funding to purchase an asset that you see is of good value. You can raise funding against that fixed deposit and use the funds to acquire the asset.
The other point, which is a last question to yourself, I mean, we're talking around you know, growing wealth, generating you know, assets and the like. I mean, what we must never forget is that important sort of base, and that's the insurance aspect. And I think, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, once you start creating wealth and you've got a strong balance sheet, insurance kind of falls by the wayside. Truthfully, it doesn't. I mean, you know, and there's going to be different aspects at different points of our life, disability, dread disease, etc. Insurance at all point remains an important component of not so much wealth creation, but certainly wealth protection.
Yeah, you mentioned initially that the article that I had written, and I tried to reference not the wealthy, but an ordinary individual like myself, who no matter what I earn and no matter what my wealth is, it's important to me, and it's important for me to protect it, number one, and then make the assets work for me. So I think protection is the first point of call and the first principle. And there is something as simple as having your will updated and making sure that your beneficiaries are recognized in the will. Make sure you are covered for unforeseen circumstances, disability, loss of income, death, that your loved ones are protected in those events, and that you can continue to survive should you lose employment or there's a loss of income. And I think those are the first principles an individual should consider before looking at wealth creation.
100%. First protect it, then sort of grow it. And as you make out, this is not just for the super high net worth. This is for all of us. If we've got assets, if we've got income, we need to make it safe. Pravesh Sunkar, Regional Head, Private Bank, RMB. Appreciate the early morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. A poll this morning asking about emergency funds, just in case. Do you have an emergency fund for that, just in case? As I said in that interview, you know, if 2020 taught us anything, is that crazy stuff can happen, real crazy stuff. You'll find the poll on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb. Options, heck yes, you have an emergency fund. Nope, you think you'll manage, or perhaps just simply not enough funds. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast available where all good podcasts are aggregated from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.